Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 368, The Art of Doing Nothing. Almost one of those titles I thought I came up with because I was reflecting for a couple days about doing nothing and what that involves. And it, like, there's a lot of thought and kind of planning, because is doing a little doing nothing, or, you know, it's like this whole thing. And I'm like, God, it's an art. And I went, well, that's what I'm going to, and I'm like, wait a minute, The Art of Doing Nothing? I've heard that before, and it is Wu Wei, The Art of Doing Nothing. So I was like, so I pulled up this old little thing that I had collected about Wu Wei, the creative quietude, and I Googled some articles, and, you know, I was like, wow. I guess it's the thing. What? We're doing nothing. There's a ton of research articles on doing nothing, the importance of doing nothing, and how hard it is to do nothing. And what is doing nothing? Because if I'm doing nothing, am I breathing? Am I, you know, they even said, well, meditating, that's doing something. It's intentionally doing, not doing something. So, again, I love the fact that now I'm at the age where I'm stopping, pausing, reflecting, and then I'm researching and Googling things kind of for my own benefit. But hey, I got a podcast, so two birds, one stone, boom. But this was very dope for me because it was exactly where I was, you know, because I'm talking to certain people and I'm like, they're trying to get stuff done. Like, they're trying to get more. And I'm like, why are they, like, they have so much more than me. You know, it's like, I'm not saying it, I'm not judging them, but I'm like, they're more connected. You know, I kind of want to be the one foot here and the one foot there, one foot in this world, one foot out of this world. Because, you know, getting a bunch of money, getting a bunch of toys, getting a bunch of material things is not how you win life. I know people with a bunch of money, a bunch of stuff, and they don't have what I have. So to me, what I have has more value, and I'm going to keep that, and hopefully, knock on wood, that it keeps growing, just like all the other muscles that have grown, gotten stronger, gotten better, clarity, perspective, all those things have been improved since I've stayed pro-U. And like, again, when it just, you know, kept coming up in my mind about doing nothing, I have one quote that I save on my phone. And it was about not always feeling like you have to fill time. Just sit in that emptiness and just feel what that feels like to just sit and not fill time. And I don't know there's a bunch of people doing that at all. So this was very interesting and rewarding. And I got a couple of cool stories to share as well. So thank you, as always, for listening, for being you. I hope you are deeming yourself worthy and making choices and doing little things consistently. That's why I do what I do. So thank you. And enjoy. Hello, Pro U people. This past week, I was in a place of real reflection, and it was just this current kind of recurring theme with the people I speak to, is the doing nothing, resting, not trying to be productive, not always trying to fill time. That's not what time is for. It's not, here's time, quick, fill it. But that's what the majority of us do. And it was just this thing where I was like, okay, I woke up and I go, okay, I didn't have clients on Tuesday. And I go, okay, it's going to be a do-nothing day. And I was really, like, reflective about it. Like, well, do nothing. What does that mean, because there's been days where I'm like, oh, I have nothing to do. And next thing you know, it's like I ran Zen, walked Zen, came home, made food, foam rollered, put laundry in, cleaned my car. You know, it was like I was really, like, I wasn't working per se, wasn't making money, but I was quite busy. And at the end of that day, I always feel good. Oh, I didn't really think it was going to be a good day. I had nothing planned, but I got a lot done. Yay. But especially with people who are like, you know, a little younger and really into working out. Because I never took a week off in like 40 years. Like, why would I not work out? Like, I didn't even get it. And I really didn't need to being younger. But as I got into my 40s, there were periods where I, you know, I struggled working out. And I wasn't consistent. And I would not go to the gym for like 3 days. And I would be shocked that I wasn't there for 3 days, and I would go back, and all of a sudden I felt really strong, and I was like, wait a minute, I haven't worked, I'm like, and that rest, recovery, refuel, it just really sank in. And again, it was a time thing. Like, I could tell my body was like, look, you can't do what you used to do, but rest, that's going to be omnipotent as you move forward. And again, same thing. Like, I was telling a client the other day, he goes, hey, could I foam roller quick? Sorry to interrupt the workout. And I was like, foam rolling is not interrupting the workout. I have clients actually foam roller during their workouts because I know they're not that diligent on their own to foam roller. So I make sure that part of their session with me is foam rolling. And so I went into this little speech about, you know, I foam roller way more than I do weights, way more than I do anything. I foam roller. So to me, foam rollering is my workout. That's what's important. That's what my health and fitness is benefiting from. So we can't really get, you know, I mean, we kind of have this stigma about certain things in a locked perspective, and we got to be kind of mentally, manually be able to shift that to where doing nothing. And that quote, I'm going to find it. I'm going to find it right now. Did I save it? That's the question. There was one of my just favorite quotes, and I thought, you know what? I'm always going to keep. Here it is. I love this. Feel the fullness of the emptiness, the vastness of the silence, the sheer life in your unproductive moments. And that stuck with me, and why I kept that quote. But I was just, you know, I was going through the day. I'm like, okay, I'm going to really observe what doing nothing was for me. And I thought, well, what's the goal? And it's like, well, and I'm just going to be like really open, honest. Like, when I want to like just shut off my brain and rest my body, I watch movies. I watch, you know, TV. I mean, not TV shows, but yeah, typically movies, you know, Netflix, something like that, Apple TV. And I'm like, well, you know, don't. And I'm like, well, reading. See, I'm not a big reader. So that's not that thing that I'm going to do that's kind of part of doing nothing. Because if I just laid there, I would probably just fall asleep. So I was like, okay, if I go through the day trying to make sure that I, all parts of me, benefit as much as I can by this day, what would that day look like? Well, if I don't foam roller, I tend to just get a little tighter. And I'm like, well, I kind of got to stretch. And I kind of got to, you know, just be a little foam rolling. You know, I got to have a little bit of that throughout the day. So I'm going to do a little bit of that stretching. I'm going to do a little bit of that foam rolling while I'm on the floor. I sit on the floor a lot, you know, especially when I watch TV. So that's kind of what I was doing. I go, okay, when I'm watching TV, it's like my mind's kind of shut down. I'm not trying to figure out, think, plan, decide, make a choice, anything. And the only way my body really, really, truly, truly rests is when it's horizontal. So it's like, you know, even if, you know, if I'm seated at my desk, it's like, well, now I'm seated at the desk and I'm doing something. you know, my spine, I got to be aware of it, posture, all that. It's like, see that whole gravity pushing down on your spine. You just need to flip it, lay horizontal. And even though you did that during the night, when you think about the rest, restore, it's like, look, the bed, the night, the sleep, that's great. But you just can't keep hammering away every day, filling all that time, work, 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 thinking you need to be productive. So I was just like kind of curious. And I got through the day and it wasn't really enlightening or anything. I was just like, that was a good shut it down, just don't be productive day. So I thought, well, that was kind of an accomplishment. Because I'm always, did this count? Did that, what, is that doing nothing? You know, it's like the entire day you have this conversation going on, which is not very relaxing. I just want to go, okay, I'm not going to try to get anything done today. Like, I'm not going to try to cross off the to-do list today. I'm going to be what I might or someone else might consider. I'm just going to be lazy today. But and then it was kind of like that, you know, I didn't have a big plan. I mean, it wasn't becoming part of a podcast. It was just, hey, Tuesday, woke up, do nothing. Well, what does that really mean? All right, let me think about that. Was kind of it. Well, that then transcends into Wednesday. And I'm going, well, because I had the majority of the day free. And I'm like, well, what could I do today that was different or better, or would I? And I was just really, really, really reflective, like, is this the wrong thing to be doing nothing, or is that okay? Is that still considered doing nothing if I did that? Because, you know, it's like, you know, I took out the garbage, took out the recyclables, vacuumed, did laundry, you know, things like that. It's like, I'm still active. So is it the benefit of just kind of getting those things done and being peaceful, or going, okay, those things can wait because today is the day I need to? But again, like I said, there's kind of a lot of work to plan what to do, how to do. And that's what I went, you know, I'm gonna Google. Like, this is a thing where it's like, okay, now it turned into a podcast episode. So I'm like, you know, doing nothing and how hard it is was kind of floating around my head. And I thought, as I'm Googling, the thought pops into my head going, you know, the art of doing nothing. You know, because it was like, you know, that that's what I thought of. Like, this is not an easy thing to do. And then I thought, the art of doing nothing, I've definitely heard of that before. So I knew I wasn't making it up, but it was like, I kind of generated it in a way where I was like, oh, that I kind of made up just through my process. But once I, you know, could hear the art of doing nothing, I knew that I had heard it before. And it was all over the internet. So I got a couple things. Well, a few things. Probably the most I'm gonna read. But I was pretty interested in it. So buckle up, kids. The first one's short. This is from a cat named Ian McKenzie. That's a personal kind of blog. And he has The Art of Doing Nothing. I have a problem, and admitting it is the first step. I have a problem doing nothing. It's not as bad as some people I've met. There are people who literally do six things at once. If you try to have coffee with them, they can't keep their fingers from wandering onto their phone keys, glancing off in other directions, maintaining a single thread of conversation. Myself, on the other hand, is the type who has a constant need to feel productive. If my days were structured into a clear 9-to-5 work hours, it would be easier. Yet since I work for myself, I'm free to set my own hours, which is another way of saying it's always time for work. Try this. Sit quietly on your couch with no music, no TV, no distractions. Just sit there and notice what it feels like. I'm not talking about meditation, which technically is still doing something. Or put it another way, meditation is deliberately doing nothing. Back to the couch. For me, a few minutes into the experience, my mind will wander to all the tasks that are not being completed. I could write another blog post, vacuum the apartment, clean the dishes, make the bed, get rid of old books, pretend to play the piano, check Facebook again. The list goes on. My mind has difficulty accepting that it's okay to do nothing. In fact, it can be far more effective in some situations to do nothing. This wisdom is illustrated in Taoism by the concept of Wu Wei. And this is one of the things that popped up. And I'm like, Wu Wei, wait a minute. I think I did a whole episode on Wu Wei. So I pulled up, and it's something else I'm going to read. But I don't know when I grabbed this thing. And I'm like, okay, whoa. Now I'm doing the art of nothing and searching. You know, it's like, so what I had collected and gathered and posted, I reread and completely resonated with me differently now. So I thought, that's what's the dope thing. You know, like these Sunday morning messages or just anything that I've done in the past. As I grow and evolve, those things then are interpreted different by the newer, better moi. Pamela Ball writes, in The Essence of Tao, in order to experience true emptiness, it is more correct to think of Wu Wei as the space in which things happen. No action needs to be taken, and we can rest quietly awaiting events. On a personal level, this means that we are open to any experience, any happening, any adjustment that occurs from within ourselves. By doing nothing, we allow a situation to flow out of its own accord. We allow ourselves to unfold naturally without forcing an imposed belief that all moments need to be diced, tagged, and justified. In short, we experience the beauty of doing nothing. And I never do this, but there were some comments, and I'm like, oh, let me read some of these. And I thought, I'm going to read these as well, share these as well. Well stated. Too often I find convoluted explanations of Wu Wei on the web. So many people seem to want to take this simple and basic concept and make it so complicated. Thank you so much for this post, Ian. I always have to be doing something, feeling productive, been doing that for years in the corporate world. The totally laid-back hubby has been helping me value downtime, the art of doing absolutely nothing. I'm definitely a work in progress, slowly learning each day that I really don't have to do everything. Doing nothing always feels great for me. There's always that voice in your head, though, that tells you to do something that will make your life better, like a house, new car, or even a girlfriend. It'd be great to flick a switch and turn off that wanting side of yourself. It really is an art, but let's not get carried away. Don't want to see it become a trend where we have to go on nothing retreats in the mountains. Can nothing be commercialized? And then the last comment. 8 important steps you must take to be able to do nothing. And that is kind of, you know, I never, you know, I mean, Google Internet hasn't been around that long, but obviously when I was in school, but, you know, I never researched. I never, you know, did this type of stuff until I got the podcast. Now it's kind of funny because, you know, you go to one place, you read something, there'll be a link to like something typically different or better. And I enjoy that thing. So, and this is the long one, which is kind of trippy, but I thought it was interesting because they call it 3 different methods. Doing nothing in your free time, doing nothing at work, and doing nothing as a lifestyle. And there's steps to each one. So grab your pen and pencil, paper, iPad, note-takey thing. How to do nothing. And this is on WikiHow. Sometimes you need to take a break to idle for a while. You can learn to take more time away from so-called productive activities to give yourself the chance to unwind and regenerate. You can spend your free time doing nothing. Learn to steal some extra time at work and commit to a more long-term style of idleness. All right, here we go. Doing nothing in your free time. Number 1, steal time. Let's get loud, stressful, and tense. When you're ready to pull the trigger on some serious leisure, set a block of time and keep it. Doing nothing on a regular basis is very healthy for your mind, body, and emotional life, especially if you find that you're really wearing yourself thin. Every now and then, it's okay 2, find a quiet place to sit. Go somewhere you can escape, zone out, and find some peace. If you live in a small apartment, set aside a corner of a larger room with floor pillows, a softly scented candle, and maybe a cozy throw. Wherever it is, make sure you can feel comfortable and calm. 3, eliminate distractions. If you're looking at your phone, you're doing something. Turn off your phone, computer, radio, television, and any other means of sending or receiving calls or messages. These distractions will only keep you from enjoying the nothing. 4, try DIY sensory deprivation. Some people pay good money for the experience of sensory deprivation, which is basically doing nothing in a dark tank set at your body temperature. While you might be able to get it perfect, you can approximate the experience. Draw a warm bath, wait until it gets as close as possible to your body temperature, turn off the lights, put some earmuffs on, and try to float in the tub for a while. Trippy stuff. 5, just sit. Zazen, commonly shortened Zen, is kind of a meditation known as just sitting meditation. If you ask Zen monks what they're doing during meditation, they would say just sitting. There's no big goal to sitting meditation, no end result. Doing nothing is sometimes a lot harder than doing something, and one of your central learnings of Zen is to just do whatever it is you're doing. When you're eating lunch, just eat lunch. When you're sitting, just sit. When you're collecting data at work, just collect data at work. I like that. That's being present, being in the moment. 6, try clearing your mind and watching your thoughts. Meditation is not thinking. Meditation is allowing your thoughts to occur unaffected. Let your thoughts of work, worry, family go. Not by simply letting them go, but by watching them leave from a distance. Doing this only allows your body to do nothing but your mind as well. 7, find a meditative activity. And they got little pictures for each little step, cartoon kind of stuff. And they got a hand stacking stones. Find a meditative activity. While this may be nothing, strictly speaking, some people find it easier to avoid distressing thoughts if their mind is focused on a rote activity. I don't know what rote means. I think, assuming it means single activity. Try arranging a Zen garden or stacking rocks or engaging in a repetitive activity such as crocheting. Pay attention to only what your hands are doing and don't allow other thoughts to intrude. And just a quick little tangent there. I mean, that's what I came to. Like, I was never the sit still guy. Oh, I'm meditating. I'm like, what is meditation? It's blocking out everything else by doing one thing, focusing on your breath, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, when I'm balancing stones at the level I am now, I mean, I never think of anything. Like, I step on the beach and my brain shuts down. It's just open and ready. And it's like, you know, that's over time, but completely. That's, again, it's not what I don't get, what I don't go to the beach, it's what I do get. That is where my meditation happens. 8, try progressive muscle relaxation. This process can help you achieve deep relaxation while doing nothing. Focus on relaxing each muscle group from your face to your feet, slowly and with regular, even breaths. All right, now we got method 2. Do nothing at work. 1, practice looking busy. Get in the habit of making rushed runs to different rooms in your office with a frowning look on your face, shuffling papers through your hands. When people see you, they'll think, must be really busy. That's kind of funny. 2, volunteer for brainless tasks. Does your boss need someone to sweep up the kitchen? Volunteer. Does somebody have to sit out back and sort boxes? Sounds good. The more brainless the task, the more like doing nothing it will be. The more stressful thinking required, the more difficult the job. 3, lie about how long it takes to do things. Scotty said best on Star Trek, tell the captain, that's going to take you 4 hours. So you can look like a genius when you get it done in 2. If nobody else can do what you do, then nobody knows how long it should take. So completely lying at the workplace. I find this quite humorous. Let the foreman find you. An old adage from automotive factory lines passed down from older hands to new workers was to just sit tight. If something went wrong, if your machine stops working and the line stops, don't go running off to tell someone. Just stand there. You're getting paid either way. 5. Let someone else do it. Some people let their egos get in the way of their doing nothing. You're not in a productivity competition with your coworkers. You don't need to be hyperactive. If you're being paid hourly and you're on the clock, if something comes up that anyone can do, let someone else do it. Take a long lunch. 6. Take as long a break in the middle of the day as possible while you're working, especially if you're on the clock for it. When 5 o'clock rolls around, that extra 15 minutes you got to steal to finish your sandwich will be the last thing on everyone's mind. 7. Play to your strengths. Depending on what kind of worker you are and what kind of job you have, you can always find a way to emphasize your good characteristics as a worker to allow for a lot more laziness. 8. Fail in calculated ways. You don't have to be the best worker at your job. You just have to be good enough to keep getting paid. That's all you have to worry about. If your boss saddles you with a big responsibility, it's okay to fail. In the future, you won't be asked to take on special responsibilities again. That's funny to me. All right, we're done with, one more. Get a job that's basically like doing nothing. If you could do nothing and get paid for it, that'd be a pretty sweet deal. Jobs in which it's very easy to steal time include night security, ticket taking, house sitting, writer of spa reviews, cute pet video aggregator, food testing, any telecommunicating job. All right, moving on. 3, method 3, doing nothing as a lifestyle. This is funny. Keep your inbox full. If people try to get a hold of you on the phone and get the full inbox treatment, they'll think you're so busy and totally swamped with things to do. 2, be positive. If you're good-natured, hapless, and lazy, people will think it's just part of your personality. If you're a jerk and try to get away with doing nothing all the time, people will think you're a super jerk. Okay. Eliminate your attachments. The less personal responsibility required of you, the less you'll have to do. It's hard to get away with doing nothing if you got to pick up kids from soccer practice, walk a dog, or go on lots of dates. If you want to do nothing in the long term, keep your life and simple and streamlined as possible. Be a minimalist. Hey, who's that sound like? 4, accept the charity of others. When you let others people do things for you, that's less you have to do for yourself. If you let your studious and friendly neighbor know that you don't have a lawnmower because you can't afford one, watch how fast your grass gets mowed. Even if the real problem is laziness, coax out charity from others to get away with doing less. Commit to happiness, not responsibility. Anytime you have to do something, it's less satisfactory than doing something you want to do. While some people think fulfilling your responsibilities is a rewarding and wholesome way of living life, it's also meh. You want to do nothing. Stay focused on having fun and idling, not ladder climbing social responsibilities. 6, sleep in. Great way to do nothing. Sleep. It'll cut into your opportunity to be productive throughout the day, and it'll be the most comfortable and restorative way of doing nothing in the long term. There you have it. But, you know, I guess when I think of all of it now, it's like, again, look how much research, look how many different things, tactics, ways people have looked at trying to do nothing. Why? Because that's how hard it is. That's just literally how hard it is. And that's just kind of, you know, funny, weird, cool, how I was sitting there thinking, going, you know, again, not about the podcast, just this day, this Tuesday that I had, and I was just, you know, I just kind of felt tired, and I just want to rest. Like, I worked out Monday. I'm like, okay, I don't have to work out. I just want to, like, do nothing. And I'm like, okay, when I do do nothing. I get tight, so I got to stretch. You know, it's like through my head going, well, how much can you do when you want to do nothing, but you don't want it to be also negative either? So I just thought it was a great thing for me personally to just, again, stop, pause, reflect, question, and then research this stuff. I thought it was pretty cool. And hopefully when people hear this, it resonates on a level where, you know, again, not doing what I do, not doing what I say, but trying to find the positive things in your life that can benefit your life that you may not be doing presently. So, just a super cool moment. I was at the puppy park, and it was just one of these cool days. Like, I had really two, like, I don't go there, like, looking to talk to anybody at all. Like, I'm just there with Zen, and that's it. You know, but if I meet a cool dog, you know, I'm definitely going to spend time with the dog. And if the owner comes up, like, you know, is this your dog? And it kind of depends. But if everything's, like, super cool, we'll just kind of keep chatting. And it's, like, all of a sudden, you know, I explain Zen and how I named him and this and that. And then I get to this point where I'm like, you know, you can literally, if you're in that place, learn a lot about your life by watching your dog. Like, the dog that you rescued got put in your life for a reason. And I just feel that. And people are talking to her like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. And just really kind of, you know, I could kind of show who Zen and I were. And these two people really picking up on it and positive. So it's just like a good vibe there. And there's this dog owner, don't know his name. But his dog, I remember his dog's name, because his dog's name is Cheddar Moose. And when I asked him, and he said, he goes, my kids, don't ask. I go, got it. But I thought, wow, I just never forget that name, Cheddar Moose, for a dog. But the dog was very similar to Zen. He's just like 9 months old, and he's a little bit bigger. So I'm like, wow, he's going to get big. But he's a cool dog, love him, all that. So I've seen him, and that's about it. One time he was talking to someone, and he had talking about Tahoe, and I said, oh, I was just in Tahoe. And that was kind of, we chatted about Tahoe for a minute, but that's pretty much the extent of my conversation relationship with this dude. So we're, you know, kind of walking one way, he's walking the other way. We meet up, and I, you know, bend over and say hi, and I say, hey, how's Chad? And he's like, good. And it's funny, out the bed he goes, yeah, having a rough morning. And you just know, you know, people want to talk when they say that. You know what I mean? Just out of the blue go, yep, having a rough morning. You're just like, okay, great, talk to you later. I mean, maybe someone does that, but someone says something. I go, what's up? He's like, well, this woman over there, like, she just went off about my, you know, Cheddar, and he was acting this way and aggressive. And he goes, that woman over there, he bit her, trying to bite her dog. And he goes, I went over there and asked the woman. The woman said no. And I said, look, I go, that's all about her. And I could just tell and sense that his buttons got pushed. He's like, you know, I don't get like this. And I said, okay, just stop and close your eyes. Like, just boom, out the gate. Like, the second thing I said to him, I go, close your eyes. He's like, he doesn't even know me. I'm, close your eyes. I just take some deep breaths. He went, and I went, okay, hold up. I go, that's like, you needed to be somewhere. I go, slow it down. I go, just draw it in slow, let it out slow. And I, you know, I said, like, you know, two times, three times. I go, okay, now I just want you to think about Cheddar and how dope he is. I said, think about your kids. Think about your wife. Think about your life. And then Cheddar and Zen had kind of come around, and he ran up again, and I bent down and grabbed Cheddar, and I said, all right, you can open your eyes. And this guy's like, wow, that really worked. He's like, is that? And he named some guy, some technique or something. I go, I said, I have no, I said, I've never done that before. I just said, it was just kind of spontaneous. I said, but I know how that feels. I, you know, go to a friendly, dog-friendly beach, and people are walking up going, is your dog aggressive? And I'm like, what is, you know, and you just go like, why are you, and you just, you know, you get kind of, you know, defensive. But you can get there where you're like always defending something that doesn't need to be defended due to ignorance. And that can ruffle feathers. That can push a button. And so right away I related. And I said, you know, I want you to understand. I said, I saw in you it's something that I struggle with. And I said, you know, when my buttons are pushed, I said, you know, I was coming to the dog park one day going, I can't get this feeling out, this anger out of me. And I came here and I was like, it wasn't leaving. And I'm like, okay, you need to like chant, you need to like pray, you know. I was like coming up with different. And then I went, wait a minute. What? It's like, well, you went to a dog park to reduce what you were feeling. And then you started kind of coming up with different tools. And I'm like, congrats. Why? Well, you've never done that in your life. You couldn't recognize it. You wouldn't have known what to have done. Anything at all before ever. So there it becomes that, oh, wow, look at what I'm doing for myself. Hey, that feels good. Why don't I focus on that? And what I didn't get to tell the guy, and this was kind of my main point, I may have coached him, but he did that. He went from, you know, I'm feeling, you know, red danger, and it went red, orange, yellow, all the way down to calm. So if you can do that, you just proved that you can do it. Two, you also proved it wasn't important. You get a phone call, hey, your brother, sister, blah, 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 has got cancer. I see you at the dog park and you're bummed. I'm not going to get you out of that place because that's real. But this dude, it was probably 20 seconds later, he felt differently. I'm like, well, there you go. Now you know it wasn't that important. If you can get rid of it that quickly, you know that it wasn't really important. And it has nothing to do with you. And this is the great way to look at it. How can you tell if nothing, something has something to do or nothing to do with you? What I said to this man, think of your dog, think of your kids, think of your wife, think of your good. Has any of that changed? No. There you go. None of that has been altered, tainted, changed, lessened, decreased in any way, shape, or form. There's just that ego, and someone said something that was rude, and we don't want people to be rude to us. And we didn't come to a dog park with our dogs that we love to deal with something like that. So we get thrown, and we're like, and then our heart starts beating, and our blood and veins and anger and feelings and emotion. It's like, okay, wait a minute. That's what can happen, for sure. Unless you stop, pause, redirect, refocus, and control that, which you can. So that was kind of the cool thing I thought of, just showing someone how quickly you can go from that feeling to another one. And then remember that you can do that, and you can do it all the time if it doesn't matter. If it's got nothing to do with you, you can just flick it away like a mosquito. So a cool thing happened along ye old pro-you path. It's only happened once before. Met up with a listener live in Hollywood, California. And this longtime listener wrote in 2 years ago and then wrote in probably about 6 months ago and became a online client. So the only other listener I met was Nico, my producer, came to town for a convention. And he says, hey, I'm going to be in L.A. You want to meet for a coffee? And we did. I just thought that was cool that, oh, how you know this person? I have a podcast and they listen to it. You know, I just like that. I just like that that's something that I do. And I got a couple people that like it. You know, it's like, yay, that's a cool thing. So client said he was going to be close to L.A. and if I wanted to hook up. And I said, oh, sure. So it was that morning. I got a text and he says, you know, I'm close to here. And I said, well, you're close to downtown L.A. Why don't you just, you know, I'm not that far away. Why don't you just come over here? And so he shows up. And I'm like, you know, we'll just take Zen and we'll walk to the park. And the cool thing, it was like, you know, don't get a lot of visitors, don't get a lot of out-of-town people. But when you tell people you live in Hollywood, they get an image. And if you say you're a block off of Sunset Boulevard, they would get an image. And, you know, we walked out my door with Sen, and, you know, two blocks away is a dog park. And he's like walking. He's like, this is like a little slice of heaven. He goes, no one would expect this, you know, just this kind of house neighborhood, you know, right a block off of Sunset. And he looks at his park. He says, ah, this park's like amazing. And they just had redone it. It was closed forever to remodel it. And then with the COVID, it stayed closed. But it's got like five or six of the biggest, coolest trees I've ever seen. And then, again, it's just manicured and bushes. And, you know, so it's pretty dope. So it's kind of cool where someone, you know, just out of town goes, wow, look at this little slice of heaven, this little hidden gem inside of Hollywood where it's, you know, in Hollywood, a block off Sunset. But it feels like you're in this really cool neighborhood. Quiet, peaceful, this little cool puppy park. So this was just a really, really rewarding experience for me. And when it got done and we said goodbye, I gave my friend, my client, homework. And I said, you know, what did it mean to go from listening to a podcast to fast forward, driving to Hollywood and meeting up with that guy? And two, what was the biggest benefit of being, you know, kind of pro you along, you know, since you've been listening and then, you know, my client and, you know, here we are meeting, like, what if you just had to put it down? He said, and this was like the cool, it's like, you know, he knew I wasn't looking for a compliment, and that was perfect because I wasn't. I just wanted him to understand what he had done, what he had achieved, and how that experience had affected him. And it's like to go from, I don't like where I am mentally. I'm not happy with my place in life. I'm going to listen to a podcast, and the first one he picked was mine. And he listened to it, and he liked it. Because I like what this guy's saying. But see, that thing is, like, he said, I need something. I, you know, something's off. There must be better. So he started looking, searching. And then he wrote in. He said, well, you said on your podcast, you know, no one wrote in a while. No one had, you know, shared their story. I said, well, I'll share mine. And he says, I just really didn't think I'd hear back from you. And I was just listening to him talk. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty crazy. Didn't think I would write back. And he goes, and then you did, and then, you know, 2 years later, I wrote back, and then, you know, decided to start training with you. And he said, but the one thing that stood out was your authenticity. He goes, you're the same person that you are on your podcast as you are in person. And the first, like, initial guy, it's like, yeah, that's what I do, you know what I mean, because I'm just that guy. But I've said that, and it was kind of like I finally realized probably within like the last year or two, I thought if you met Zen and I at the beach, you met Zen and I at the dog park, you came over here, you heard me on the podcast, you'd get the same dude. And I thought that was kind of like cool that I saw that and I was aware of it, but it's like, you know, I wasn't always like that confident, that comfortable. And it's not like I was, like I made up a character or anything, or a different persona or anything. It was just, you weren't really comfortable, so you weren't really sure how to be. I'm just me now. I just act exactly like this, think this, talk like this, everywhere I go. And it was nothing like, oh, cool, I'm doing that thing, I'm achieving that thing. But when someone pointed it out that I respect and admire, it's like that's what they saw. That was just a cool moment for me. Like, it was one of the best compliments I've ever got. Because this guy's like, you know, one of the things that stood out was that you were very authentic. And I was like, well, thank you, Jesus. Like, I can die. Like, if that radiates from me, I'm doing it right. I'm going to keep doing it. And it just filled me up. And then it just made me, like, crazy thankful. Because it's like, you know, a dude like this was getting help. He was going to get better because he was searching. He wasn't giving up just like me. But he was going to, you know, look for someone to bounce things off of, to listen to, just like I had in the past. And I was like so thankful that it was me that he chose. Like I even said to him, I said, I'm probably a little bit more thankful to be a part of your journey than you are. And not in a weird way, but just like that sounds maybe weird to you, but I am. I'm like literally, honestly, genuinely, sincerely thankful that I was the one that gets to see. Because I just like right away, I'm like, wow, this guy's good. Like he's fine. What's wrong? What can I, like he has way more than me. What can I offer? But he couldn't see what I could see. And I'm like, oh, that's what I got to show him. And now he's starting to see it. And I'm like, well, of course you are. It's not going to be that hard. I mean, sooner or later, someone's going to be able to show you what you can't see. And now you can see it. And but now he's thankful to me because I was the one. And I was like, you know, you can't design that. You know, I wasn't. You know, I didn't plan to meet this guy. You know what I mean? It just happened and it just blossomed and it just moved forward and he's just excelling and thriving and he's like all pro you and I get to witness it. And I get to watch. And that's just incredibly rewarding. So it's like I'm sitting at my house, walk my dog to the park. And someone who knows me and that I've helped is like, wow, this is a great place. Wow, you live here. Wow, you got a great dog. Wow, thank you for being you. Wow, look what all you did for me. And I just getting filled and getting filled and getting filled and getting filled. But it's kind of funny because there's been a couple times when I've said something and, you know, clients don't always see it right away. And I was telling them, like, it's kind of abusive when you're critical of yourself and you're like always judging yourself. And then the first time I said that, he kind of did that head tilt, like, huh? Like, abusive, that's a kind of a strong word. And we met in the park, and he goes, you know, I thought about what you said. And he goes, you know, it is. It is abusive. And it's like, I just love that he got what I was trying to say. You know, because he's got kids, little children, little beautiful boy and girl. And I'm like, your daughter came up to you and said whatever you would never go, you need to do better. You know, that natural voice in your head, you would never allow that. You would never say that to anyone. But we allow it to be said to ourselves, by ourselves, in our head. And then it's just there, so it's familiar, so we just let it go. And I reminded him of this quote, and I couldn't quite get it. And I think I told him, because he's like, oh, no, this, you mean this quote? If you knew, I'm going to mess it up now. All right. I'm going to find it. This won't take me long, kids. Hold on. It might take me a long time. I just thought of that. If you knew how bad negative thoughts were, you'd never have a negative thought again. Was kind of what it said, but that was, I know again, wrong. I'm scrolling, which I know is pretty fun for listeners. When the Pro You Podcast guy's scrolling, I really got like when he quoted it and corrected me, I was like, "That's what you got to remember that way." I don't know, I think it started with the brain. Fantastic. A wise man once said nothing. I just saw that one. I like that one. How we doing out there? You enjoying this part? Oh, come on. Come on, it's coming. I know it is. I know it is. I know it is. I know I'm getting close. It's warm. You live most of your life inside your head. Make sure it's a nice place to be. That's close. Come on. I just know. Huh? If you realized how powerful your thoughts are, you would never think a negative thought. There it is. I did find it. I'm actually quite proud of myself. But it was a different quote. Actually, I remember the one that he said, because it used the word brain. It said, but it was the same premise. If you knew how powerful your thoughts are, you'd never have a negative thought again. And that's kind of the point. It's like, if you're just a little critical, a little judgmental, how much harm is that doing? And if you're harming yourself, is that not abusive? I mean, literally, it is. It is abusive to do that, and we just shouldn't. All right. I'm going to end it there. So, this is the last thing I had asked my client who visited me, the biggest benefit, and he said it was the quiet. So, bringing it full circle, the art of doing nothing. Yeah, I've been chatting with that dude for like 6 months, and the biggest benefit is the quiet, which is the reduction of the noise, the white noise. The white noise from the conversation. What conversation in your head? There's only one voice in your head. So you're having a conversation, there's another voice that should not be there. And if you're allowing that one voice to judge and critique you, you should always be doing more. Yep, you could be doing something right now. You're making money right now. Hey, you got a bunch of stuff you could be worrying about. You can't sit there and do nothing. You know, I'm just living proof that you can let that happen. And it can just eat away at your mind, body, and soul for as long as you allow it to. Or, like a lot of my clients, they're stopping, pausing, and going, wait a minute. It's not all about filling time. It's just not. It's not about the to-do list, getting things done, because now you won, or now you're safe, or I'm going to get to that place from working really hard where nothing bad happens. I'm going to keep going and have money so nothing ever hits me like a test. You can't. You can't stop what's coming. All you can do is make the choices moment by moment that make you a better you. So when we're on that little tramway of life and one's a 4 out of 10, one's an 8 out of 10, the same things are coming at that person, I'd just rather be the 8 out of 10. And that you can do. You can't stop what's coming, but you can be an 8 instead of a 4 by the choices you make, the thoughts you allow in your head, the words spoken, and the word spoken to yourself, the thoughts, you know, thought to yourself. Don't be abusive. Don't be negative. Be your champion. Be your own champion. Love yourself unconditionally. And that's easily stated, harder to apply. I had no idea what that meant until I was probably 54. But that's why I'm saying this stuff. It's important. I'm still here, so I'm going to say it. No matter how long it took me to get it, I'm going to share it. All right, doing a little add-on. I forgot to add the Wu Wei thing that I had forever. 06 is when I got this. 15 years ago. Wu Wei, creative, and that's definitely why it had a different meaning to me, resonated differently with me. Creative quietude. The basic quality of life in tune with the universe is Wu Wei. This concept is often translated as a do-nothinglessness. Let's try that again. This concept is often translated as a do-nothingness or inaction. But this, suggesting as it does a vacant attitude of passive abstention, misses the point. A better rendering is creative quietude. Creative quietude combined with single individual two seemingly incompatible conditions, supreme activity and supreme relaxation. These seemingly incompatible can coexist because man is not a self-enclosed entity. He rides on an unbounded sea of Tao, which feeds him, as we would say, through his subliminal mind. One way to create is through following the calculated directives of the conscious mind. The results of this mode of action, however, are seldom impressive. They tend to smack more of sorting and arranging than of genuine creation. Genuine creation, as every artist has discovered, comes when the more abundant resources of the subliminal self are somehow released. But for this to happen, a certain disassociation from the surface self is needed. The conscious mind must relax, stop standing in its own light, and let go. Only so it is possible to break through the law of reversed effort, in which the more we try, the more our efforts boomerang. Wu Wei is the supreme action, the precious suppleness, simplicity, and freedom that flows from us, or rather through us, when our private egos and conscious efforts yield to a power not their own. In tune with the Tao and let behavior flow spontaneously, action follows being. New action, wiser action, stronger action will follow new being, wiser being, stronger being. The Tao Te Ching puts this point without wasting a single word. The way to do is simply is to be. Huston Smith, The Religions of Man. All right, I wanted to read that. All right. Go get on your creative quietude. You are worth it. We came seated, legs folded, eyes closed, neutral neck, shoulders over the hips, navel tucked into the spine. We will connect with our breath. We will bring the inhale through the nose and we'll allow the exhale out the mouth. We're going to slow them down, elongate them, connecting the mind to the body. That's a big deal. Takes mindfulness, takes focus, takes effort. Meanwhile, distracting your mind, the space between your ears from all else. This will be your focus, your breath. If anything else enters your mind, kindly, calmly ask it to leave and return to your breath. Do this to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Thank you. Well done. Bravo. Congrats. Another successful pro you moment. You know, when I think of where I'm in my life, things I say, what I think, how I feel, it's easy to see how I got here. Slowly, one day at a time, one moment at a time, doing little things consistently, deeming myself worthy. Because how I look at things is different. What I look at is different. How I feel when I look at things, when I do things, everything is new to me. Everything is better to me because I'm better. Like, I'm highly aware the struggle that 2020 was and still is for a ton of people. And therefore, that makes me thankful. But it just keeps building gratitude upon gratitude upon gratitude. And I have less than most. But that's exactly what becomes your superpower. Is gratitude for what you have, the air you breathe, the legs you're standing on, the space you occupy in your life. And that stopping, pausing, breathing, focusing on what you have is like a pro you moment, elongated throughout the day. Remember what you have. Be thankful for what you have. Deem yourself worthy of doing the little things that you need to do to become the best you. Stay focused on that. Do not become distracted from that. You are the most important person in your life. You gotta own that. Peace and God bless.